From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his studies in the life of Abraham as he continues the theme of three marks of the friend of God. In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham was visited by three angelic figures, one of whom was Christ in a pre-incarnate appearance. In the previous broadcast, Dr. Cairns pointed out that this visitation occurred after the establishment of the covenant of circumcision, the sign of separation unto God. It included a revelation of God's presence, His purpose, and His power. In this portion of the message, we see that Abraham was ready to welcome the Lord's fellowship and was ready to serve Him. In this passage, the Lord speaks of knowing Abraham and the kind of man he was in his home, one who instructed his family in the things of God and lived what he taught. What a lesson for our families today! Dr. Cairns will come to the Word of God in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Blessing on Littleness. The text is Psalm 115, verse 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. This is a word of cheer to those who are of humble station and mean estate. Our God has a very gracious consideration for those of small property, small talent, small influence, small weight. God careth for the small things in creation, and even regards sparrows in their lighting upon the ground. Nothing is small to God, for He makes use of insignificant agents for the accomplishment of His purposes. Let the least among men seek of God a blessing upon his littleness, and he shall find his contracted sphere to be a happy one. Among those who fear the Lord there are little and great. Some are babes, and others are giants. But these are all blessed. Little faith is blessed faith. Trembling hope is blessed hope. Every grace of the Holy Spirit, even though it be only in the bud, bears a blessing within it. Moreover, the Lord Jesus bought both the small and the great with the same precious blood, and He has engaged to preserve the lambs as well as the full-grown sheep. No mother overlooks her child because it is little. Nay, the smaller it is, the more tenderly does she nurse it. If there be any preference with the Lord, He does not arrange them as great and small, but as small and great.
Only a boy named David, only a little sling.
Only a boy named David, but he could play and sing.
Only a boy named David, only a little brook.
Only a boy named David, but five little stones he took.
And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round.
And round and round.
And one little stone went up in the air.
And the giant came tumbling
down.
And the giant came tumbling down.
Only a boy named David.
Took.
And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round.
And one little stone went in the sling.
And the sling went round and round.
And the sling went round and round.
And round and round and round and round and round.
And one little stone went up in the air.
Giant came tumbling,
and the giant came a tumbling, 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 tumbling,
tumbling,
down.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
this is a chapter that really enables us to understand why Abraham is very generally and best indeed known as the friend of God. It's a lovely picture that you have here. A way of life that for us today has long since gone. Sitting in the door of his tent, whiling away the time, the Lord appeared unto him. We have read how even though he was an old man, 99 years old, Abraham hasted to meet them, ran to the herds to prepare the necessary food for them, and brought them into his home. When he did so, the Lord again announced the upcoming birth of Isaac, upbraided Abraham's wife Sarah for her unbelief. She denied that she had laughed in unbelief, but you can never deceive the Lord. He knew what she had done. He knew why she had done it. Some people have wondered why the Lord upbraided Sarah for laughing when he didn't upbraid Abraham for laughing when he first heard the same promise. Well, there's a laugh and then there's a laugh. Abraham laughed with pure pleasure at the thought that God was now going to fulfill his promise. Sarah laughed in unbelief because she did not see any way that God could fulfill his promise. And so the Lord upbraided her. While I'm not preaching in Sarah, I should say that the word of God did have its effect. And it brought not only conviction to Sarah, but I believe it brought her to the realization of faith in this promise. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, we are told specifically, by faith she conceived. Speaking in that context of her faith. My, what a wonderful thing when the Lord speaks to a person, even if he has to upbraid the person, when he speaks personally and individually, he can not only uncover the sin that is grieving to him, he can not only bring conviction to the heart, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He can stir faith and redirect the life, and that's exactly what he did in his dealings with Sarah, the wife of Abraham. That's why I said last week that it is my prayer that when we come here, God will speak to every heart. Save us from the preconceived sermons of a preacher and give us a message from God wherein the Lord will speak to the heart. I could speak to you all day and all night. And those of you who have heard me preach some of the longer messages will realize that's not terribly overstated. I could speak to you all day and all night, and it wouldn't do you any good. But let the Lord speak. I've seen the hardest of sinners melted just like that with the word of God reaching their heart. I've seen drunkards and harlots who were so hard brought to tears of repentance, not because of the oratory of a preacher, but because God spoke to their heart. I've often spoken to you of one of the highlights of my life when I look back and the people to whom God has given me opportunity to witness, and standing in the sitting room of my mother's home in Belfast, speaking to a young woman addicted to hard drugs, with her life broken, wanting to die. The only thing she longed for was a suicide's grave. Into every wickedness, Satanism that gripped her heart, a high priestess in a cult that was damning her soul. What could I say to such a person? And I opened the scripture at Matthew chapter 11 and quoted the word of God. She grasped the Bible from my hand and said, "Does God really say that?" And I will never forget that scene as she stood and she read what Christ said. And suddenly the tears began to flow and the chest began to heave. And that young woman wept her way to the cross. No skill in the preacher. No soul-winning technique, no brilliance in the witness, but simply a word from the Lord to the heart. That's all it took. And a lifetime change took place. The drug addict became a Christian. And today, a fine example of a Christian wife and mother. That's what happened. The Lord spoke. But then He spoke again. First of all, the Lord says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do in Sodom? I know, Abraham, that he's going to be a great nation, and I know that he's going to command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. So I will make known to Abraham what I'm about to do." And so he told him he was on his way to judge Sodom for its sin. And immediately Abraham began to pray, and he interceded until he came to the place where he said, "Lord, if there are 10 righteous people, 10 justified people in Sodom, will you spare the whole place?" And the Lord said, "I will." And Abram turned away to wait the results. It's a lovely scene that you have. Abraham, the friend of God. And as I looked at this passage, it appeared to me that we have in it 3 marks of the friend of God. The first is simply this, that he welcomes the Lord in true fellowship. I want you to picture Abraham sitting there in the tent door in the heat of the day. And the Lord approached. Abraham was immediately ready to receive him and was immediately eager to serve him. I want you to notice and mark those 2 things. He was ready to receive him, and he was eager to serve him. It was no half-hearted reception that the Savior got from Abraham that day as he approached his home. And the more I look at that scene, the more I see, first of all, what it is to become a Christian, and what it is then, having become a Christian, to be a Christian. The mark of one who meets Christ for the first time and genuinely comes into saving faith in Christ, that mark is always this, that he welcomes the Lord. He is ready to receive Him, and he becomes eager to serve Him. We're at that time of the year when the world and the church join to celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. He has come. But you could hardly say that He received a welcome. It wasn't only in ancient Israel that they found no room for Christ, but it's true in modern America. I don't know if you read the article in yesterday's newspaper, from a columnist from somewhere or other. Really a rather snide column about the saying that he had grown up with in his black fundamental church of putting Christ back into Christmas. But really, it was nothing but a celebration of a Christless Christmas, and even worse, a Christless Christianity. Christ not received. But let's not talk in generalities. Even in a church like this, most of you have grown up in a Christian home. Most of you have grown up in Christian education. You've had every advantage that the world can possibly give you. And yet, despite it all, the approach of Christ has not been welcomed. There are people who come to church every week and they're putting up barriers to try to ensure that though they listen to the preacher, though they meet with the people, they will not meet with Christ. You can be coming to church from now until you're 90 and go straight to a lost eternity because you will never become a Christian. You will never get right with God unless, first of all, there is a personal, honest reception of the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. But if that's the mark of one becoming a Christian, it is truly the mark of being a Christian. That readiness to receive and that eagerness to serve says a lot about the state of Abraham's heart and a lot about the state of his home. That when the Lord came near, Abraham didn't need special time to make special preparation to receive Him. He could come at any moment, at any time, and Abraham was ready to receive Him any day of any week. That's the way he lived. He didn't need the time. Run around like a madman trying to make things look better for the Savior. When I thought of that, it reminded me of an old poem. Very simple little poem. But the whole idea of this poem is, if Jesus came to your house, and it's probing the reality of the spiritual profession with which we live. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if He came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, to all the food you'd serve him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard, or wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? And I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? Would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing? And read the books you read? And let Him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or would you change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him stay forever, on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last had gone? Would you be glad to meet him and have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd just stay away until his visit ends? It would be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.